huddle up.
66 Hitchx Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Somebody say week 8? That's right. We're here. We're back in action here at Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet with Colin Russo and Kate Chumsen. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Good morning. Happy Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. Got you for the next hour getting you prepared. We don't have an international game, thank God. Last time we saw international play, we saw Jacksonville Jaguars get absolutely throttled by the Los Angeles Rams, but we do have a full slate of NFL action, which we will take you up and throughout the day. Most notably in that 1 o'clock slate, we got that Raven Bear game with no Lamar Jackson. Everybody giving the Ravens a bunch of flack because what the Ravens did is they labeled Lamar Jackson as a full participant in practice on Friday. Then on Saturday, they actually rescribbled that and changed that status from full participant to limited participant, and he is now out against the Bears. And that line, by the way, has shifted upward of 6 points. Speaking of lines, Hard Rock Bet is your place to get started. Get involved in Week 8 action. Go get started on the MLB postseason because you get the World Series right now tied up at one apiece. Dodgers, a complete game from Yoshinobu Yamamoto. The second in a row for him, by the way, in the postseason. You could bet all that. Bet the Week 8 action. Bet the college football. Bet NBA, which is now in full swing. You got so much to watch, so much to get to. You get a Sports Equinox, I believe, tomorrow with all the major sports playing on the same day. Get started on the app. And if you bet just $5 in the app, just $5, and you win that first $5 bet, you get $100 in bonus, $150 in bonus bets immediately. It's that easy. Refer a friend. Get $50 additional on top of that. That's $200 right then and there in bonus bets that you can play around with on the app. Sprinkle a little action. Increase your odds on a parlay. String together up to 20 legs. Have some fun with it. These could be player props, team props, live, spread, futures. You name it, they got it. It's Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically prize it in for the wager. Terms and conditions do apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. All right, so we had a Thursday night football game a couple days ago in which the Chargers got back on track a little bit. 37-10, Carson Wentz. A terrible game on his front. They lost 37-10, it was easy, and now we're looking ahead to maybe J.J. McCarthy returning. Cade, before we get into the Sunday slate of games, are the Vikings in between a rock and a hard place because they got Wentz, they got McCarthy, who nobody really knows anything about yet, whether he's good or not. And they had Darnold over there in Seattle playing great football. I don't know if I pity their position because it sort of seems self-inflicted to me where the Vikings are right now.
You can't predict injuries. If J.J. McCarthy was healthy for this entire season, I think we'd think of them differently. Even if he was playing poorly, you're at least trying to get your star rookie out there or star first-year player out there into the
world. Call him a rookie.
World.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. It's going to be... You're kind of looking for a quicker development on his part because you want him to be your ultimate future.
And they won 14 games last year.
Yeah, they had the rest of the team around him. And honestly, the second half of that Bears game, he was looking decent. Now, the next game when they played the Falcons, he looked terrible, but then he got injured. So if he was playing 5, 6, 7 games at this point, I think we'd look at the Vikings a lot differently. Carson Wentz isn't that guy. I think we all see that. If he can't work with the quarterback whisperer, Kevin O'Connell, I don't know if he's going to work anywhere else in the league at this point, and he might just be a backup for all time for the rest of his career. And I think that's just where he has to accept himself and where the Vikings have to see him. You're going to play Carson Wentz until you believe J.J. is fully healthy. This is his second injury in a year and a half, so you got to make sure he is exactly 100% okay. I do feel bad for the Vikings because I didn't mind the Darnold trade to get J.J. McCarthy out there as your future star. Carson Wentz obviously isn't turning out to be the guy we thought he might be with Kevin O'Connell. And they're kind of just stuck with that quarterback injury bug.
And you got to hope that McCarthy's good. And that's still the question mark. You know, nobody knows if McCarthy's really good or not. And if he is capable of, you know, making them a playoff team. They clearly have the talent. You know, their defense is not nearly as good as it was last year, but they had talent. It's a 14-win team last year. Justin Jefferson, I know they've been hurt. Aaron Jones has been battered, you know, but they have Justin Jefferson there. And Justin Jefferson is still Justin Jefferson. And they still have that head coach who, like you said, is a quarterback whisperer. And keep in mind, Daniel Jones is playing great with Shane Steichen. You give him all the credit in the world. But, you know, They one thing about Jones is Jones was working with O'Connell too. So you got to give them a little credit on that front. There is certain coaches that just speak to quarterbacks and signal callers and throwers. And like you said, if Carson Wentz can't succeed under O'Connell, then all hope is lost. The same thing applies to McCarthy. If McCarthy can't work under O'Connell, then the Vikings are going to be looking around thinking, boy, did we miss an opportunity? Because every game that Darnold wins in Seattle, I'm not a Viking fan. Every game that Darnold wins in Seattle, that would drive me crazy. It's always a risk. And I understand they spent a first-round pick on him. You didn't know Darnold's going to be as good as you, as advertised or, you know, shocker. You didn't know it was going to be like that. But I sat there and I thought that they should have kept him around. I really did. So I don't know if this is just going to be a little bit of a reflush year. They're 3-4. They're in a tough division. The Bears are better. They got tough divisional games. He's going to come back against the Lions. That's their next game in Detroit. And that's if McCarthy coming back. I'm very curious to see how they handle this offseason. And if they double down on the current roster or they try to enter a little bit more of a youth movement due to the youth and the cheap quarterback play that they currently have under roster.
Well, the offensive line is not great.
No.
Let's just be honest here.
Totally.
So it's like...
And they've been hurt. That offensive line has been hurt.
So you at least want to revamp that aspect to give JJ a better chance of staying in the pocket longer.
I totally agree. And they've been hit with a little bit of an injury bug, and that's just what happens. But I think if there are still question marks around McCarthy at the end of the year, I don't like where they're at. And I understand a lot of that has to do with the offensive line, but that Bear game, first game of the year, was not offensive line. And I know that was his first game of the year. That's basically the first game of his career. You can't judge everything off that, but I can only judge it off the two games that we've seen him. And he has played one good quarter in his career. One good quarter. To say that there's question marks is not unfair for me to say. On top of that, we have a full Sunday slate. The biggest one on the early slate, in my opinion, there's two. You get the Giants and the Eagles, who played 10 days ago, who are now playing again. And Giants at 2-5, Eagles at 5-2. Last time we saw the Giants, they blew a 19-point lead and gave up 33 fourth-quarter points to the Denver Broncos in Mile High. And that is a game where, the Giant fan is going to have a tough time sleeping at night. They're 0-4 on the road. They're going to Lincoln Financial. And that Bear game, Bears-Ravens. If you want to look at a game where this is it for Baltimore. Baltimore's 1-5. They're 1-3 at home. The Bears, 4-2. Bears are on a four-game win streak for the first time in a long time. They're finally starting to figure things out. Defensively, they're playing well. Caleb Williams is not trying to do too much. Lamar Jackson was supposed to play in this game, if you asked the Ravens, 3 days ago. Classic John Harbaugh move. Full participant. They realized that they were stepping on toes of league rules because there are certain rules to how they should disclose certain players and how much they practice, injury reports. That's a big deal in the National Football League because it impacts lines, it impacts scouting, it impacts... And again, and you can't just like scoff at the idea of lines because, hey, NFL presented by DraftKings, whatever the heck it is, so it happens. But that, and then also on the scouting side of things, they said Lamar was a full participant to practice. They changed it on Saturday, probably changed the entirety of the Bears game plan because they probably thought they were going against Lamar all week. The whole impression was that he was going to come back post-bye and the Ravens coming back after a bye. Kate, are we being unfair to say that if the Ravens lose today, chalk it up, finish, finito, or are you already there?
I'm already there.
You're already there.
I'm already there. Whether or not they win their division, the rest of the AFC is too good. Patriots are fantastic. Jacksonville and Indianapolis.
Jacksonville out of this.
Well, okay, they have a winning record still.
Yes.
They're at least in the conversation. They're better than the Ravens right now.
Yes.
And they've got three teams in the AFC West. I don't think they'll win their division. I think the Bengals with Joe Flacco have a better chance than the Ravens at this point after beating the Steelers in last Thursday night football game. But I also think, I just want to go back to the whole like Ravens cheating the system a little bit. I'm reading the article right now on ESPN.com by Jameson Hensley, which came out yesterday when all of this went down. It's not just a kind of maneuvering around the system. It's a blatant disregard for the rules.
Yeah.
Because according to the NFL injury report, this is from the article on ESPN.com, a player who participates in individual drills but for medical reasons doesn't take normal repetitions during the team portion of practice and is assigned to the scout team should be listed as limited participation. Jackson practiced the whole time with the scout team. He never took a first team rep.
Which means he was limited.
Yes. And they still list him at full.
Which is a probably to try to swindle the Bears.
100%. Swindle everybody at this point. You don't
got to imagine that they're going to get punished for that.
You have to. I mean, because when I first saw the headline, I thought it was he was taking first team reps, but he wasn't taking all of the first team reps. So they labeled him as fully, even though he technically didn't take all of them. No, he never took a first team rep. He just practiced with the scout team the whole time. That is just like cheating. Like, that is just like breaking rules 101. They'll definitely get punished for this. I think they're in desperation mode right now to try to get any advantage they can. And right now, with a 1-5 record and a stacked AFC, they're toast if they can't get this win.
And Mike Rizzo and I on Russo and Rizzo took the Ravens -6.5. I don't know if that changes on the cover 5.
It doesn't.
So when you take it, you take it?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. No, you can change your pick. The line doesn't change.
Okay.
Because the lines get set earlier in the week and they just set.
We might have to change that pick.
You're going to have to reach out to Rizzo.
I no longer think the Ravens are going to win by a touchdown. I thought they were going to win easy if Lamar is playing. Lamar is playing. This is a desperation game. They need to win basically every game in the remaining in the next 5 weeks. Now this game changes a little bit. Now I do think the Ravens are still going to play well coming off a bye. This is truly do or die time. They're a little bit more healthy, but without Lamar, that team doesn't go very far.
Tyler Huntley at quarterback.
Yes.
Not whatever his name was.
Cooper Rush.
Thank you. So
and they've won games with Huntley before.
Pro Bowler.
They've won games with Huntley before. I'm still nervous about that. I am still nervous about that, and no longer am I in favor. Because that spread, that line now is about 2 points now. It was a touchdown. So that not only changes gambling lines, this is not about the gambling, but it's true. When you think about this, people set these bets, you know, on Fridays, and then now the team is blatantly disregarding, withholding and disclosing information about the certain players. That costs people money. People who have influence in the NFL, because the NFL is in relation with a lot of these companies. So it's not unfair to say. And that's on top of the tactical advantage against the Bears. You know what? I'm with you too. Ravens are done. They're done. I'm out. Because I was on the other side of this. If Lamar was playing today, I actually thought that there was a path for them. I really did. Because they got the Bears 3 straight on the road, but still, it's Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, and then the Jets. If they somehow, some way, went 5-0 there, now we're looking at this team at 6-5, very much in the play. So now, I hope they lose. Because I don't like that. I don't like that. It's cheap. It's cheap. It's trying to get ahead. I know Harbaugh, you know, he does this type of thing, playing around with the rules, but hopefully they get punished for that. I'm not even trying to be annoying about that. Hopefully they get punished because that's stupid. And that's nothing to do with Mike and I taking the Ravens -6.5 in our cover 5, which is lightning bet, by the way. So if the Ravens walk in there and lose 47-7, we go down about 50 points. So hopefully it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that.
Listen, I already took Minnesota on Thursday, so you're going to do better than me so far.
Oh, you took Minnesota?
I took Minnesota.
Oh my gosh, that team's a mess.
I had been disappointed by the Chargers. Not so much impressed with Minnesota, but disappointed with the Chargers. And yeah, they completely flipped that script.
You know, there's a lot of games today where you're the 1-6 team is taking on, you know, the fringe playoff team. That's basically every week. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year. But a good Sunday night football game you have tonight. Packers going to the Steelers. Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers playing for the Packers for the first time since he left Green Bay. And Matt LaFleur talked about it in his presser during the week. He goes, hey, this game does mean something different because it's Aaron Rodgers on the other side. And Rodgers has tried to take high road with it a little bit, but they're coming off a loss. They've had long rest, and they played on Thursday Night Football, coming off a loss. And the Packers, on the other hand, are 4-1-1 with that tie against the Cowboys. People have made such a big deal about Rodgers' return against Green Bay and how he needs to, you know, shove it to Green Bay. I actually am on the other side of this. I don't think this is a big deal story of the game to begin with. I just think it's more about the Steelers not reeling and getting back in the win column. I don't know if this is going to be about Rodgers not letting the Packers beat him. Because if Rodgers goes out and plays vintage tonight, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, you know, is able to tear him apart, I'll change my opinion. But Rodgers has been trying to win games. He's not just been trying to light up the stat sheet. And I also don't think there's nearly as much animosity against Green Bay as there was against the Jets, who they played in the first game of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a bigger story than Rodgers at home, by the way. It's not in Lambeau. At home in Pittsburgh playing the Packers. I think this is an overplayed kind of storyline attached to this game.
He got his revenge game out with that New York game. That I 100%
it.
Agree. Now, if you're the Packers, though, I'm definitely wanting to beat down on this man. Because he got us one championship when he should have got us at least three. So, like, I'm ready now to take a Jordan Love team and hammer down on the Steelers. Also a game that the Packers need to prove themselves. Let's be honest. When you barely beat the Arizona Cardinals led by Jacoby Brissett, it's not a huge confidence boost to the fan base. They're 4-1-1 right now, but there are a lot more teams than the NFC that I have more confidence in than the Green Bay Packers right now at this moment. Roster-wise, Packers are one of the best teams in the NFL. But they haven't actually shown it yet.
They have not put together four quarters.
The last 3 weeks have been a tie against Dallas, a bye week, and a fringe win against the Arizona Cardinals. So they're going to need a huge statement win in a hostile environment when it comes to NFL stadiums at Acrisure Stadium. Huge game for the Packers tonight. As much as it is for the Steelers, because the Bengals are playing against a terrible Jets team, so they could go to 3-5, 4-5, whatever their record is right now, after already having beaten the Steelers. NFC North is about to get a little tricky. AFC North is about to get a little tricky.
And the one thing about the AFC North is it's a little open season right now. If we're under the impression that the Steelers are going to do exactly what the Steelers do and get to that 9-10 win mark and nothing more, then the other teams in the division, most notably the Bengals, and then I think the Ravens, but you know, with them potentially not having Lamar today, I think that changes things. The reason I still had confidence in teams like, I agree, the Bengals or the Ravens, is because I think there's a number in mind. I think that there's a win total that they could see that they know they have to get in order to have a chance at the division. If I'm the Steelers, I'm not under any impression, based on the eye test, that this team is notably better than what they usually have. Their defense is worse than it usually is. Their offense is better than it usually is. They're still around the mean of that 9-10 win team, fringe playoff team. That's how I look at the Steelers. That's how I've looked at them all year long. And the teams that they have beaten, I know they had a good win against the Patriots, but they beat the Jets, they beat the Browns, they beat the Vikings. And outside of that, it's been a whole lot of nothing. Their next three games, Packers, Colts, Chargers.
Woo.
You don't think that the Steelers can easily go 1-2 there? And then all of a sudden, the Steeler team were looking around thinking, all right, well, now they got 4 or 5 losses. And the rest of the year, they haven't even brought up a lot of their divisional games. And they still have to play 2 against the Ravens. They still have to play the Bills. They still have to play the Lions. They still have to play good teams. So I'm under the impression, if I'm the Ravens, and again, this Lamar not playing changes things, but if they somehow are able to win this game, there's a number in mind. We need to get to 10 wins. We already have 5 losses. We need to get to 10 wins. That means we have 2 losses to spare the rest of the year. That is doable. That is doable. Now, if you're the Bengals, you already got 3 wins. All right, now we need to get 7 wins. We need to go around 500 ball the rest of the way, a little better. And then we'll get Burrow back for the last 2-3 weeks of the year. There's a number in mind. That's the most takeable division in the NFL. It is. And it's better than the, because there's not a star team in there. If you look at the AFC West, yeah, they got the Chiefs sitting there, but they got 3 very good teams. The Colts are probably the best team in the NFL at this moment. The Patriots and the Bills, both formidable opponents. The Eagles are the Eagles. The Packers, Lions, Bears, all pretty good. Buccaneers are really good. The Niners, Seahawks, and Rams, another really deep division. The one that's not is the AFC North, which is weird to say because they've always been great. But you got the Steelers sitting there with 3 hard games coming up, sitting at 4-2. They could easily go 1-2 there. And that would make them a 5.
If not 0-3, if the Chargers are good,
that's
like we think they are.
So that is a... The reason I still had faith in some blind optimism that the Ravens could do it is because that division is bad as it's been in a long time. It really has. Week 8 of the NFL season today because you Ravens, all eyes are on them. This season is nearly over, and it is definitely over, in my opinion, if they're able to lose this Bear game at home today post-bye. You got Packers-Steelers tonight is the night game. Packers going on the road to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. You had a good slate of college football yesterday. A lot of SEC games. A big win. Probably the last time that we're going to see Brian Kelly coach a big game for LSU, I'll tell you that. But all that college stuff got me jazzed for the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl. It's going to be kicking off its 12th year this year. Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m. at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The game's going to air on ESPN. They're going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. You can find more information today at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Let's look ahead. What do we have to look forward to this week? Let's do a little quick look into Week 8, presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
Time now for a quick look, presented by the QuickBooks Pro Experts at Jay Zolo and Associates. Since 1997, Jay Zolo and Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
Quick look presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. Go check it out today. All right, we got NFL Week 8 today. We already saw the Chargers and the Vikings play on a lackluster, lopsided Thursday night football game. But what do we have to look forward to today? Implicating games. A.J. Brown, star receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, who are sitting at 5-2, who lost to this Giant team by 17 points just about 2 weeks ago. They play the Giants again. Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo. Brian Daboll looking to kind of return to reality a little bit after that unbelievable loss at Denver last week. They allowed 33 points in the fourth quarter. They're trying to get back into the win column a little bit, sitting at 2-5. You can't afford a skid, not the record that they have. The Eagles, on the other hand, looking to build off a little momentum, get that monkey off their back. Can they actually take care of the Giants, make it look easy without A.J. Brown? All eyes are on Jalen Hurts and that passing attack. See what they can do there. The New York Jets, the other team in New York, sitting at winless 0-7. They go to Cincinnati, taking on Joe Flacco off a long week. Jamar Chase and company in the Cincinnati Bengals. The Jets, Aaron Glenn didn't say anything all week. You want to talk about who's going to start a quarterback? He's allowed to do that because he doesn't know who's going to start. This is not a first team, whether he's healthy or not. Aaron Glenn eventually announced that Tyrod Taylor's dealing with a knee injury. He's likely going to be seeing a whole lot of Justin Fields today, sitting at winless. They have not been able to pass the ball. Aaron Glenn, I mean, at what point does the straw break the camel's back? All eyes on Aaron Glenn in that one. All right, in terms of the later games today, we have the Cowboys going to the Broncos. Broncos 5-2. They played a lot of tight games this year, have had a lot of come-from-behind incredible victories after a lot of incredible losses in the early part of the year. They came back down 17 in Philadelphia to beat Philadelphia, and they also came back down 19 to beat the New York Giants. Bo Nix, Sean Payton and company, they got a lot of magic to them, especially the late game, but they have not been able to put together fourth quarters. And as for the Cowboys, bad defense, played a lot better last week against the Commanders. We know Dak Prescott's playing at an MVP level. Can they string together, stack together good weeks on the defensive side of the ball? 3-3-1, they're very much in play for a wild card bid, but they're going to need that defense to continue showing up. Lastly, that night game tonight, Packers and the Steelers, you get Aaron Rodgers, his return, despite it being in Pittsburgh, playing Packers for the first time since he left Green Bay a number of years ago. I don't think this is as big of a deal as people were making it out to be. I think that real revenge game was against the Jets. But Matt LaFleur company, Jordan Love, sitting at 4-1-1. They haven't put together four quarters either. They haven't looked great since really week two of the season. And Jordan Love and that passing attack has looked a little lackluster. They ride on that rushing attack. They ride on Josh Jacobs and company. Can they continue a little bit of momentum, get back into a feel-good moment for the Green Bay Packer fan? As for the Steelers coming off a loss 10 days ago, they lost to Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals, who everybody thought was dead until they acquired Joe Flacco from the Browns. Now, all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers. Can he tear apart the Green Bay Packers, his former team? Is that team going to be a classic Steeler team? 9-8, 10-7, squeak into the postseason? Or are they better than that? They have the quarterback for it. I'm not sure if they have the defense for it. We'll see what happens on Sunday Night Football. That was your quick look ahead into Week 8 presented by Jay Zolo and Associates. Stay tuned for some more Sunday Huddle. Shohei Ohtani, about a week and a half ago, put together one of the best postseason performances of all time. We're going to put together our best individual performances in the history of sports on the other side of things. Take a listen to us, Russo and Rizzo, 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays, theoretically speaking, 2 to 4 weekdays on the ESPN South Florida app, which is free to download today. The ESPN South Florida app has everything you want from Inter Miami English and Spanish in the postseason right now. You also have the Florida Panthers on the request for a three-peat. You can listen to that all on the app. You can listen to our extensive high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast on Friday nights. We cover every game, including the Muck Bowl, which is coming up this Friday. You got all of that to look forward to. You can listen to it anywhere just on the app. Free to download. Go download it today. It's Kate Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Punch right, Zach. 15 tip scissors. Can it to 300 jet F stick. X has got a quick high corner. Be ready to keep attacking.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Also on the ESPN South Florida app, presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, we got to do a couple fun lists here because now with the World Series underway, we can't forget about what Shohei Ohtani did in Game 4 of the NLCS against the Milwaukee Brewers, where he was able to fan 10, struck out 10, six innings pitched, and on the other side of it, 3-for-3, three home runs, as good as it gets. Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo and Cade Chumsen. If you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They can get yours too. They didn't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They are the best in the business. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because take that one phone call and take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. All right, Cade, so we are about 10 days removed from Shohei Ohtani and the heroics that he was able to show in Game 4 of the NLCS against the Milwaukee Brewers, one of the best postseason individual performances we've ever seen. And now we can look, in hindsight, now that it's marinated a little bit, on where it stacks in the ranks historically. Now, you have a list for us of the top individual performances in the history of, I would guess, North American sports, maybe internationally as well. What do you have for us?
So one of my favorite YouTube channels out there that kind of helps me with history about not only sports, but also just media in general, is a YouTube channel called Watch Mojo. And their whole thing is about top 10s, top 20s, top 30s. They love making lists. And the day after this massive Shohei Ohtani game, they came out with a video that is the top 20 greatest single game male performances in sports history. So it is worldwide, but it's specifically male single game sports performances. They came out with a top 20. Very curious by the way they put out this list. Now, these guys, you can just tell they have a rhythm to them. The committee, whoever makes these top 10s, they love bringing in the international sports. So the early parts of this list are a lot of niche sports that you probably haven't even heard of the players who are in them. So the first one is rugby legend Jonah Lomu, who destroyed England in the 1995 Rugby World Cup with four tries.
That. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that's number two. So I'll go through the bottom half of this list pretty quickly because the top 10 is where it really gets good. So number 19, Dominik Hasek's shootout versus Canada, the goalie for the Czech Republic in the 1998 Olympic semifinal, blocked all five of the Canadian shooters to win it for the Czech. Number 18, Brian Lara's 501 cricket performance.
Oh, wow. I missed that one. Yeah.
Number 17, Ben Stokes' miracle at Headingley, where in 2019, when England needed 73 runs, also for cricket, Ben Stokes made it happen. Number 16, this is hockey, Toronto Maple Leafs, 1976, Daryl Sittler's 10-point game performance.
Yep.
Number 15, here's Tom Brady's 28-3 comeback in Super Bowl 47, I believe it was.
Yep.
Number 14, Mario Lemieux's 5 goals in 5 different ways in 1988. Number 13, Lionel Messi's 5-goal masterpiece in the 2012 Champions League round of 16. Number 12, Kylian Mbappe's hat trick in the 2022 World Cup final when France was down 2-0 against Argentina.
Messi's got to be on that list too, but yes, continue.
Messi was at 13. Yeah, so okay. Messi...
But that was not, in a different game. I'm talking about in that specific game, but yes.
Also
Mbappe
true.
Mbappe was unbelievable. Go continue.
Number 11, Don Larsen's perfect game in 1956.
That should be higher.
In the Game 5 World Series. And now we get to the top 10. Joe Montana's 92-yard drive in Super Bowl 23 when they were down 16-13.
To the Bengals?
Yes, that was the infamous Isn't That John Candy up in the stands.
Yep.
That's number 10. Number 9, they decided to take this one as not just a singular game, but a singular performance. Michael Phelps' golden sweep in 2008 where he won 8 gold medals in all 8 events that he competed in. Number 8 on this list is LeBron James' stare-down game in Game 6 of the 2012 NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
No doubt.
Where he scored 45. Number 7 is Usain Bolt's 9.58 world record in the 2009 World Championships. Number 6 is Michael Jordan's flu game, Game 5 of the 1997 NBA Finals. Number 5, Diego Maradona's dual legend in the 1986 World Cup, where he scored 2 of the most famous goals in soccer history.
Yep.
Number 4 is Kobe Bryant's 81-point game.
Probably too high.
Number 3 is Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
That should be on there.
Those are back-to-back.
Yep.
Number 2 is Muhammad Ali's win in the Rumble in the Jungle against George Foreman.
Okay, I can listen to that.
And number 1 is Shohei Ohtani's game from 10 days ago.
All right. Number 1, that is the best postseason performance in the history of the sport. There's no doubt. In the history of that sport. I don't know if I'd put up number 1, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put that
same thing.
Well, I'm interested in the way they did that because they did Muhammad Ali, Rumble of the Jungle, number 2. Okay, fine. But do you want to talk about, I guess it was the most, no, Foreman was undefeated going into that. He was the heavyweight champion. It's a little different. This is post Muhammad Ali losing 3 years of his prime because he didn't want to go enter the Vietnam War. But the one that really popped out to me that I'm surprised was not included, or that was not included in the top 10, was Don Larsen's 56 perfect game. It's the only perfect game in playoff history, and there's been a no-hitter, but there's never been a perfect game that was in 56.
Yeah, they put it at 11.
That was a crucial Game 5. It was tied 2-2 against Brooklyn. That was against Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese and the great Brooklyn Dodger team. They won in 7. That should have been a little higher, but in terms of the best postseason performances, in the history, not a lot of recent ones either. You know, they had Kylian Mbappe in the World Cup final. That was an unbelievable game. And he completely carried France there. But not a lot of recent ones. And I guess you can't, because when you open up the book, then it gets really complicated in terms of measuring the importance. Because do you measure the actual statistical importance, or do you measure the context in which they did it, right?
I think they measured more of the statistical performance, not as much as the context. 81
points is a good example. That 100 points is a good example. And that contextually, there has been bigger games in the history of the NBA in terms of must have it, must win, have to play great. That's where I would say that there are better performances than that. You know, I believe that Wilt game was in March. And
yeah,
that was an 100-point game. There was nobody there. It was 9,000 people in the stands. I would put something like Magic Johnson in Game 6 of the 1980 NBA Finals, who's a rookie. As a rookie, Kareem Abdul was out with a ankle injury. Needed to win. Magic Johnson as a rookie started at center, 42-15-7. Won the Finals MVP, won the Finals that day. Come on. I mean, that, to me, is a better performance than what Wilt Chamberlain.
And I think they're trying to single out, and this is not necessarily postseason. This is just any performance of all time.
Right.
And I think they're going for performance, not necessarily impact of the game. Because my biggest problem as a golfer is that there is no Tiger Woods in this list.
Yeah. What would you do, Tiger? I mean, because in terms of like importance, the 2019 Masters is probably the most important win of his career.
So
but the most impressive was like 2000 US Open when he won by 15 strokes.
That or the 1997 Masters where he won by 12 strokes.
Yeah. So contextually, it makes sense.
Any of those three, where he's winning by double digits or he's coming back from one of the greatest sports comebacks in history.
Contextually, that was probably the most important win of his career.
19 was, yes.
19.
But statistically, when you're winning at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open by 15
I think he was the only
strokes,
one under par. And he was the only one under par in that whole tournament.
Yeah, so either of those wins, for me, is a disgrace. To not have
no
any golf.
No golf is strange.
When you have cricket, when you have rugby, when you're purposely trying to give love to other sports.
Yes.
No tennis in here as well?
No tennis. I could go down the list, please. We don't need it. I could save you the time. But, I mean, geez, I agree. You know, Rafael Nadal went 3 French Opens without dropping a set. Without dropping a set. Now, you could even bring up Novak Djokovic at 2010 Wimbledon. I mean, nonetheless, you're right. There's no golf. There's no tennis. There's no NCAA. Not a lot of NCAA
There's none.
Zero.
There's zero college.
I would put anything. I could think of 4 off the top of my head right then and there.
Either football or basketball.
Vince Young against USC.
Yep.
And the most famous college football game ever played. He had like 5. He had 200 yards rushing. And we had 450 total yards. And it was the only game the USC lost in 2 years. They had a 34-game win streak going into that. And he knocked them off in the national championship game. How is that not on there? That's the most important college game of all time.
I thought of a lot of college football games and college basketball games as well. I also have a problem with them having 3 hockeys, but not having Jim Craig's USS versus Russia in the semifinals of 1980.
That's a good
point. Where he blocked 36 of 39.
He was great.
That's insane. And that's talk about unbelievable performance in the biggest stage.
And that's context.
And performance.
Right.
That's why I have a problem with that.
I agree with that. What was that score? 4-3, I believe?
Yeah, it was.
So, contextually, absolutely. I think, you know, you got to throw against the best Soviet team, one of the best Soviet teams of all time, against a ragtag group of college kids. I think that, contextually, should be on there.
There's only 2 NFLs, there's only 2 MLBs, there's 3 hockeys and 2 crickets. I mean,
and the 2 NFLs are Joe Montana and
Tom Brady.
I would put a Jerry Rice on there. You know, Jerry Rice had 3 touchdowns and 200 yards in a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, like in that game against Cincinnati, he had 189 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he is the best Super Bowl performer in the history of the sport. Jerry Rice could probably have 3 performances that make that list. And to jump back to college really quick, how about the Christian Laettner game? 1992 yep. Elite yep. 8 against Kentucky. I mean, Christian Laettner, let's throw this out there for a second. I believe he went 10 of 10 from the field, and he hit a game winner against Kentucky to win their second straight title. I mean, come on. That's not on there. Here's another one. Bill Walton, 1973 national championship against Memphis State. He went 21 of 22 from the field. He had 44 and 13. UCLA won their second straight title and their 7th under John Wooden. How about that? Bill Walton does not get on there. That's the most important college game.
There's 4 NBA games on this list.
Yeah, they got the Kobe Bryant 81-point game. They have LeBron game 6 against the Celtics. They have Wilt 100-point game. What was the last one?
Michael Jordan's flu game, game 5, 1997.
Michael Jordan's flu game. I can hear the flu.
I don't mind those.
I don't mind the flu game being on there. You could probably find better ones. I'm not going to lie. You could probably find
Jordan?
Better ones.
Yeah.
You could probably find better
ones. And it's weird because it seems like that one
He had 55 points in a finals game against the Suns, I believe in 93 or 94.
It seems like that one they put context into it.
Yeah, that's a context one. A context one. LeBron, that's a context one. That's the most important game of LeBron's career.
Yes.
They were down 3-2 in the series, fresh off of losing to the Dallas Mavericks in 2011. And if they lost that in 2012, they probably would have blew up the Miami experiment. That's it. That was the most important game of LeBron's career. I'm fascinated by that.
I also, when I watched this video for the first time and we were hitting the top 3 and no boxing had come up, I just figured there would be no boxing. Because Buster Douglas ain't on this list either.
That's a good one. Biggest upset of all time in the history of boxing. So there's that. You could think of 3 Ali ones, Thrill in Manila in 1975. The 3rd one against Frazier is 100 degrees in the building. I mean, that's another one. Rumble in the Jungle was in Zaire, Africa, too. So, I mean, that and a billion people watched that.
So if we were to come up with maybe like a 10 or a 5 or some sort.
You got to mix it up. Here's the thing.
Yes.
You got to choose. If you're going to do it, I can do an hour on this. If you got to choose, you got to do 1 or 2. Major League Baseball's got the most history. 1 or 2 Major League Baseball. You got to do 1 or 2 basketball. And I would say 1 pro, 1 college. College football, and then maybe 1 or 2 NFL. Because the NFL's got such a storied history as well. You got to do that. Then you got to consider the other stuff. You got to do golf. You got to do tennis. And you got to probably do boxing.
You could probably do the best of each sport and then make your top 10. Almost. Maybe I agree with you. Probably multiple basketball, multiple baseball. That's probably what I would say.
Are we not putting Secretariat on this list because Secretariat's a horse?
True. Holy smokes.
Belmont, 73. Hello?
So fair.
31 lengths. We're not putting Secretariat. I know he's a horse. We're not putting Secretariat on there.
It just said male. It didn't say human.
Wow. Secretariat should be on that list.
That is so facts.
So that's a ridiculous one. How about that? I could think of that. I could think of a couple. But Shohei Ohtani, I understand. We're not trying to demean that should be on there. That
it should
be on that list.
It could be like 10. That should be 10.
That should be on the list. But the thing is, they're up 3-0 in the series. You want to talk about context. Shohei has not had a good postseason outside of that game. Individually, wow performance. You're never going to see a performance like that ever again from any player. Ohtani. Contextually, that's where it hurts it a bit because it wasn't must win. It wasn't must win, which is what I tend to favor, right?
Yeah.
I tend to favor stuff like that. And if you're, this would be a fun show. We should do an hour on this and just put together the top 10 performances.
I'm here for it.
Because if you were to do it, I think you got to do it the way you said it. You got to split it up into sport. You can't rank them all against each other. I think you got to start with putting like two in each category and then go from there.
Yeah.
Because you got to do two in basketball and then two in baseball. And you got to favor in college eventually, collegiate athletics.
Olympics, soccer.
You got to do Olympic performances. It's an impossible list to make. It really is. It really is. I don't know how I'd start it. I don't know. I really don't. But in terms of the best one ever, Shohei Ohtani's performance against the Brewers in Game 4 does not pop to the top of my mind.
I don't think so either. I don't think the context delivers it.
I don't think it does either. In terms of the most important game, like the best games, the most important sporting events in history have politics surrounding it, which is why, like you said, that U.S. win over the Soviet Union in 1980 is ranked so high. There's politics attached.
100%.
And
especially when Jim Craig had so much like poor play coming into those Olympics.
Right.
He allowed 10 to the same team the week before.
A lot of Muhammad Ali fights. A lot of politics attached to it. Joe Louis beat Max Schmeling 1938. In September, September of 38, Joe Louis, who was the heavyweight champion of the world, the black heavyweight champion, and he went against a German, Max Schmeling, who was not a Nazi, but the Nazi party used him as propaganda. It's a year before they invaded Poland. Fought at Yankee Stadium, he knocked him out in the second round after losing to Schmeling 2 years earlier. That's an important win in the context of history. How about that? That should be on there. I don't know how that one's not on there.
I mean, anything from the 1939 Olympic Games?
Good one, Jesse Owens. That was 36.
Thank you.
36, Jesse Owens. Hitler was there.
Boys in the Boat rowing team. They also won gold.
Okay movie. Not a great movie. Okay movie. I could do this all day. We got to set up a show like that. We got to blitz the book on the other side of things. That's Cade Chums and Colin Russo. Sunday 100% by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
631 Smash, F-Track Sneak, on one alert, the Smash on one, ready?
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo and Cade Shelmsley at the City Play Studios on the ESPN South Florida app as well. Well, today, Miami's heading to Atlanta. You got some good Week 8 action today. ESPN West Palm Street team is going to be hitting the road to Mulligan's and Vero Beach this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Watch Miami take on Atlanta and enjoy game day specials with $3 Miller Lite Drafts, $15 Buckets. Plus, we'll be giving away two tickets to a Miami football game. So come and join us at Mulligan's in Vero Beach and enjoy some ice-cold Miller Lights. Must be 21 or older to participate. Please drink responsibly. All right, what we do each week is Cade and I put together four bets apiece. We will put together three bets against the spread, one player prop. Player prop is worth 4 points, and Cade and I will draft on how many points we want to put on our spread picks. 1 point, 2 points, 3 points. Let's get to it. Let's blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. All right, so how this works is we do this weekly, and we draft our picks against the spread and the player prop. Player prop worth 4. Everything else worth 1 through 3. Cade, what happened last week?
Last week, we both went 3 for 3 on our game picks. Didn't hit our player props. So we both got 6 points. So the totals right now, you are at 33. I am at 41. You won the prior week, so it is still your first go.
Tie goes to the runner. All right, I like it. All right, so first game today. The thing is, it would have been the Baltimore. I don't want to do Baltimore anymore. I was thinking about that, and I don't like that. How about this? Buffalo -7 at Carolina is going to be my 1-pointer. And that's at Carolina. I'm a Carolina guy through and through. Carolina's due to come down eventually. I'd be pleased if Carolina won this. It's only a 1-pointer for me, but I do think Buffalo's going to come in and throttle them post-bye.
With a winning record right now, Carolina is looking like they can sneak into this NFC playoff picture. I expect them to play well, but I agree with you. Buffalo should get back right in this game. My first one... I'm going to go with the bread and butter Dallas Cowboys. That offense still should shine against the Denver Broncos. They are +3 right now on the Hard Rock Bet app. It's on the road, which scares me a little. But Denver's defense honestly has not lived up to the expectations I put on them to the start of the season. Dak has just got to get the ball out quick, and I think with a fully powered offense, he should do just fine. Give me the Cowboys to pull off the upset as my one-pointer.
My two-pointer, Cleveland has not won at the Patriots since Bill Belichick was there. And Patriots are favored by 7 points today. They've been dominating, essentially. They're good against bad teams. I'm taking the Patriots today, -7.
I think you've chosen the Patriots about 3 weeks straight
now. I'm going to continue until they lose me again.
They're on a four-game win streak. You cannot blame them whatsoever. All right, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals, -6 against the New York Jets. That Jets team is awful. Cincinnati is smelling blood in the water in the AFC North, and I think Joe Flacco is capable of putting together back-to-back great performances, especially with that wide receiver core. -6 should be no problem at home for Cincinnati.
Hate doing this. My three-pointer, Atlanta -7 against Miami.
Wow.
I don't like it. I reluctantly like it. But, I mean, the thing is, Mike McDaniel's going to have to be fired eventually. Let's root for Atlanta to break the doors off of Miami and continue to put pressure on ownership to make a change. Atlanta's giving my three-pointer -7 against the Dolphins.
I think that's this week's trap game. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
All right.
I'm cheering for the downfall. Give me San Francisco +2 against the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow.
The fact that the Texans are favored in this game without Nico Collins and Christian Kirk is unbelievable. I know it's still Mac Jones starting for San Francisco, but that's a 5-2 team going against a awful 2-4 team with one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Yes, they have the best defense, but one of the worst offenses ever. Is this a game Houston can win? Yes. But as far as I'm concerned, the division is lost. The playoff picture, especially if they lose today, is lost. Give me San Francisco a safe +2 on the road against Houston.
I've been all over the place on what I want to do. It's National Tight Ends Day, you know? So everybody likes Nationals Tight Ends Day. You know what I'm going to do? Because I've been bouncing around about this. I think Jalen Hurts is going to throw for a lot of passing yards again because of National Tight Ends Day. A.J. Brown or not. +225 passing yards is +175. Jalen Hurts +225 passing. Sign me up. I don't care, A.J. Brown or not. He's going to be thrown into Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith, who may or may not be both starting on my fantasy team. Give me Jalen Hurts, 225 over.
You went with New England as a team. I think they're going to score a lot of points against that good Cleveland defense. I'm going to go with an anytime touchdown score on the Patriots by... You know what? Sure. National Tight Ends Day. Give me a Hunter Henry touchdown at +210 odds. Hunter Henry scores himself a touchdown on National Tight Ends Day for the Patriots.
National Tight Ends Day it is. That's Kate Chums and Colin Russo. That was our Hard Rock Bet Blitz book. Download that app today. Go get started. Get $150 in bonus bets if you bet just $5 and win. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. This has been Sunday Huddle. Colin Russo, Kate Chums on ESPN 106.3.
This program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.